Tuesday, January 12th, 4:52 p.m. Children were playing. Parents were working. Millions of people were going about their daily lives.
For hundreds of thousands of them, they could not know that they were spending their last minute on this earth. 70 seconds later, a 7.0 earthquake would utterly decimate the country of Haiti.
We said when we broke the news live on the air that this was going to be bad. But nobody imagined just how bad. During the course of today's show, we will be listing relief agencies that you can donate to in order to help our fellow man. We here at the show ask that you give what you can. Even if it's just a dollar, it helps.
We'll start with the American Red Cross. 1-800-HELP-NOW.
This is Jim Alger, and this is Common Sense.
Oh, say, can you see?
Why do the Republicans hate America?
Their only play right now in Congress is to hope the Democratic Party fails.
The airport experience is an abomination, and the airlines, for example, have capitalized on our fear and on our worries.
America comes in 37th in terms of the quality of care and its affordability.
I can't afford health care, you know, as it stands.
I just want to say Congressman King is an idiot.
It's not even us in the U.S., it's us in China now.
It's us in China.
It's going to be us, Russia, and China.
It's the EU.
I don't know why in the world we would have anybody like this as a congressman to make such a blatant, idiotic statement.
Oh, please, Mayor Antonio, please shut up. Don't say anything. Just be quiet.
The insurance industry has been accused of running a shadow campaign here, pretending to cooperate on one hand, and yet funding the kind of accusations that we hear coming up in the mainstream media while disavowing and washing their hands of it.
We're in the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
The buzzword of the day is not torture. The buzzword of the day is enhanced interrogation techniques.
Can we just agree to call it torture?
Phone lines are open from Washington, D.C., 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514. From the rest of the United States, you can reach us at 415-762-1161. That's 415-762-1161. If you are joining us this evening from the United Kingdom, good morning to you. 020-3286-6728. 020-3286-6728 to speak with us live here in the studio.
And the first thing we're going to talk about this evening right off the bat is going to be the breaking news regarding Dr. Conrad Murray and Michael Jackson. I usually try to do the Hollywood sort of section of the show a little bit later on, but this is happening as we speak. Dr. Murray is in Los Angeles preparing to surrender himself to the Los Angeles Superior Court tomorrow to face manslaughter charges in the Michael Jackson case. With me today is Jency, as always, and
hello.
Again joining us is Natalie from the United Kingdom.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Jim.
Now, Natalie, if I remember, you were actually on the show that when we broke that Michael Jackson had died.
Yeah, I was.
Yes.
You are remembering correctly. And if I remember, you said this was going to happen.
Yeah, I called this way back on the day that it happened. I was one of the – I'm not going to say I was the first, but I'm pretty sure we were the first.
Let me just get a little merit badge out there for you, Jim.
Hang on. I'm going to get the merit badge because we were the first ones to call that Michael Jackson had died. We beat TMZ by 2 hours. And yet
I saw on the BBC this afternoon, they were giving TMZ credit for our scoop.
Oh, that's okay. TMZ, you know, they deserve the scoop. The truth of the matter is I got the information, based on one person who had told me something and then putting things together myself. an actual hard news scoop, but I still like to dig in at Harvey there when I can. It's kind of fun. But this, we said at the time this was going to be a homicide investigation, and people doubted us. And then we said that this doctor was going to be up a tree, and people doubted us. And the truth of the matter is, I'll follow this right through the all the way. I'll say this guy's going to get away with it. I'm going to call that today. He's going to walk. It's not going to stop the city of LA from charging him. But he's going to walk away because I don't see where the crime is.
Yeah, but as a physician, he is administering medication in a manner that's not consistent with, you know, standard protocol for medications like propofol and things like that. I mean, okay, my father.
That's unethical. It's not illegal.
And isn't there something in your laws about crossing state lines with?
No, he followed. This is the point. This is the point. First of all, it wasn't a highly regulated narcotic at the time. Secondly, physicians routinely prescribe medication, what they call off-label, which is for something other than what it's designed to do. And therefore, they might get them. The only thing I can think that they would get them for is not – well, maybe involuntary manslaughter might be what they're going for, but I was thinking criminally negligent homicide in that he should have never left Michael Jackson alone in the room. However, the lawyer that Conrad Murray has hired has defended successfully this exact case before. This exact case, not one close to it, this exact one, a doctor who prescribed propofol for a patient who had left the room and the patient died.
You don't just give somebody propofol to allow them to sleep nicely and wake up refreshed. It doesn't work that way. And you need to be under constant, you know, monitoring on the machines when you're given that. My father has been in anesthesia for over 30 years. When he heard
this. I'm sorry, he's been on anesthesia?
No, he.
What Jency means is he's an anesthesiologist. Is that right, Jency?
He's an anesthetist. And same difference. So he said that it's absurd to prescribe or give somebody propofol strictly for the purposes of getting a good sleep because it's not a good sleep at all, medically speaking. And also the monitoring that you have to do to somebody's vital signs while they're even sedated with this is, you know, is constant. You don't just, and it's in a vial. I mean, you have to put it intravenously. It's not like you hand somebody a few pills, take this, have a good sleep. I mean, come on.
No, I get what you're saying. And what I'm saying is this case has been successfully defended in front of juries before. So that's why I'm saying that I think at the end of the day that this doctor may walk away from this. He's going to hire a dream team. He's got the money to do it. The city of Los Angeles is broke as a joke. If we have time to get into it, we'll get into it later on. But, I mean, it's just unbelievable what's going on in California right now. I think that the immediate outrage of trying to charge someone of the death of Michael Jackson, fine. You know, there's this desire to haul people and bring people to justice. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be hard-pressed to have a jury say, yes, this person committed a criminal act. I could be dead wrong here. I don't know what's served by doing it. I'm not sure. But I'm just saying that I think that he's going to walk away. I mean, I could be wrong, but I also said that O.J. was going to walk away and Robert Blake was going to walk away, and no one believed me on those two either. So that's my two cents.
Wasn't this the same drug that caused rumors of your premature death last year?
It wasn't the drug that caused rumors of my death last year. It was idiots on Twitter that caused rumors of my death last year.
But my point is,
and if you listen to some people, the whole thing was a big ruse in order to get.
but
Not a well-played ruse, I might add.
My point is that this is a highly, highly powerful drug, is it not?
Medically speaking and otherwise.
Yes, I had. Yeah. Apparently, the drug has the ability to create death rumors. Yes, I had a bad reaction to this drug.
I don't know. I don't know what this drug's called here. Because drugs go by different names here than they do in the States.
Oh, hold on. In the UK, it's called Happy Juice.
But what I'm trying to say is this guy knew that this drug was so powerful, and this guy had obviously been to medical school and knew that he shouldn't have left.
I'm looking this up, and according to what I see here, it says that the Propofol in the United States, the United Kingdom, is known as Ambien.
Ambien?
No, not it? Okay.
I was about to say, what? Don't knock the Ambien. That is some good stuff.
Are you trying to say we're all high on Propofol?
We're all high on something.
We wouldn't be high on Propofol. There'd be lots of snoring, and Seth would have to tell us.
Oh, maybe that's where the GOP rumors of bodies piling up in the streets of London came from.
Wow. You didn't have to go far to catch that one, which is funny as hell. The audience is now going, she took a turn and I don't know where they went.
But what I'm trying to say,
the two people who are listening. 415-760-1161, 415-760-1161. We have a ton of other phone numbers, folks. And if you're calling in the UK, just listen carefully when we come back from commercial, because it's on the pre-recorded intro. Because to be honest with you, I didn't remember it. So 415-760-1161 is our in the United States phone number. And we're just having a blast because I deliberately decided to do so. You see, this is what I do whenever something happens. I just say, this is what I meant to do. I decided not to really plan out, per se, this show, just to see how we handle a nice freewheeling episode. So that's what we're doing this time. Not that this is any different from any other week that we ever do.
But hey, I submitted some direction for the show yesterday. And today?
Yes, but I didn't get it until today, and it was like,
well, that sounds like a personal problem.
He's been a bit lazy. He's not been checking his emails.
Not true. I have not been lazy. I actually went to a comedy club the other day, my first good night out in a while, and I went down to a I'm with Coco fundraiser that took place at the Hollywood Improv. On Melrose, my Ambien's kicking in already. And I saw some comedians that were pretty hysterical, one or two that were not. But it was a really fun time out. Now I was not me being lazy. I just decided to go out and normally on Sundays is when I begin to plan the show for Tuesday. So that's my excuse. I went out, and if you don't like it, tough. Speaking of tough, though, I want to talk about this because I've got to talk about this.
Me.
Sarah Palin said something retarded today.
R word alert.
You cannot talk retarded without inherently Sarah Palin's name coming into the conversation. But apparently she's offended. Because Rahm Emanuel claimed that the idea of the left wing attacking right wing Democrats was retarded. And Sarah Palin heard this and decided, here's a great place for me to erect my grandstand. And I haven't been in the newspaper in 4 whole days, so let me go do something now. So now she's screaming bloody murder. Allegedly, it's because her child has Down syndrome, and somehow the retarded phrase offends her. Now, if Rahm Emanuel would have said, you know, Sarah Palin's child is retarded, that might be one thing. If Rahm
Manuel would have said Sarah Palin's retarded, well, I think he'd have been given a pass being factually accurate. I remember when I started talking about this earlier, I said if that crazy bitch was worried about what Rahm Emanuel had to say, she's not going to be happy with our show at all. So she's changing the dial as we speak right now. I don't know why we give her the time of day. I know that I made a New Year's resolution to stop talking about her, but God, she's just so hot.
I think, you know what? She may be hot, Jim, but I think a village in Alaska is missing its idiot.
Yes, I know. They need to link up with a village in Texas, which got theirs back.
As
our resident right winger.
Yes.
Are you guys
right winger that a lot on the right would not want to claim? Yes.
Exactly. Wait, so, was that a yes that you right winger, or a yes that you're going to step up and spank me?
I don't know which one I'd rather admit to. Honestly.
Oh damn!
Can we even say that word on the air?
Can we say what word on the air?
Spank. I didn't think we could say that on the air.
Spank. But Jensi, go ahead. I'm so sorry. I'm in rare form tonight. It's this mail order pizza that I got, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Go ahead. You were saying?
Well, I was thinking about this story, and my initial reaction about the retarded and that being cause for his dismissal just sort of made me laugh, because it's not like I go around all the time saying the word retarded, but I think about, you growing up, that was a phrase that was used, but we didn't necessarily intend it to be, attack or whatever on people that are mentally handicapped. But as I'm like going through my mind of these reasons why, you know, I should be allowed to say something's retarded, then I thought, well, did people say the same thing to justify the use of the N-word, saying, well, I grew up my whole life saying it and da 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 da, you know? I don't know. I'm
just
talking.
Can I just say something about the N-word? And I'm a hair short of just flat out saying the word. I don't think we should call it the N-word. This started with O.J. Simpson. That's where the all of a sudden no one could say that word. It was always a profane, ridiculous, stupid thing to say. In my entire life, right. It's been a profane, ridiculous, stupid thing to say. But calling it the N-word started after O.J. Simpson. That wasn't that long ago. It used to be on TV all the time. I can still show episodes of Archie Bunker where he's using it.
Huh.
I don't get this rush for political correctness at the sake of common sense. It defies logic to me. And I really think that we lose ourselves as a country when we claim to be free, unless someone, you know, unless someone doesn't agree with it. Let's go to commercial. We'll come back in 2 minutes.
The odds of having a boy who grows up loving baseball.
1 in 6.
Which earns him a college scholarship.
1 in 2,500.
That gets him a contract in the minors.
1 in 3,700.
Which leads to starting shortstop in the majors.
1 in 290,000.
The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism.
1 in 150. You know the odds. Now learn the signs. Go to AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Common Sense Economics Rule Number 8. A corporation that makes billions in profits should not stick taxpayers with the bill for their employee benefits. Walmart's record profits have made the Walton family the richest in America. But because they fail to offer affordable health coverage to 700,000 workers, taxpayers shell out billions for government care. Why should taxpayers bail out a corporation making record profits? Walmart can afford to be a better employer. Now would be a good time to start.
I was raised Irish Catholic. We have Jesus on one wall and JFK on the other. I've always had an impassioned love for this country, even when I disagree with it. So many people like to wrap themselves in the flag, forgetting what it stands for. That beacon of hope for a people who had so little reason to hope. A people who believe that we could leave our children a world better than when we arrived. None of us are perfect, but politicians seem to have a knack for hypocrisy. It's because truth gets left behind when they arrive in Washington, choosing to win instead of doing the right thing. We've all seen the worst of our country. I would like to show my children the best. That's why I'm here. Tune in to Common Sense with Jim Alger. www.getcommonsenseradio.com. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511.
See, there's all our phone numbers that I keep forgetting. We were talking before the break about Sarah Palin's retarded statement. She's using Facebook as her outlet right now.
She's not using Facebook personally, of course. She's paid to people to post to her Facebook.
I wonder if she used the money from her PAC, like she used the money to buy books.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Can you believe this, dimwit? She spent more money buying her own book with her PAC money than she did spending it on candidates.
Maybe she should have spent some more on the books, because I hear that Going Rogue, An American Nightmare is a better seller than Going Rogue, An American Life. Going Rogue, An American Nightmare is, of course, the other Sarah Palin biography.
Oh, y'all, you will love this. I was in Sam's Club about a week ago doing a little grocery shopping, and I was standing there by all the books.
Sam's Club is owned by Walmart.
Yes, I do. Okay. Anyway.
You know that the anti-Walmart folks are sponsors of our show.
Okay. Well, I was in there. I had to buy 2 gallons of mayonnaise. Where else can you get that? Okay. Now, so I'm standing there by the books.
We're
going to
get the letters.
On the end of the aisle was all the Going Rogue. But I was looking at some magazines, and these guys – and this woman walked up pushing, you know, the buggy, and they looked a little, you know, countryish, if you will. Certainly not the sophisticated, typical Sarah Palin supporter that we all know. And he was being completely sarcastic. He said, God, I really got to get that Sarah Palin Going Rogue book. And I just busted out laughing. Because,
well,
you know, Sarah Palin talks about the Sam floater a lot. And, you know, in the campaign, they talked about the Sam's Club voter. And, you know, here's a Sam's Club shopper, and he was not going to buy her book for nothing. And I looked at him, I said, oh, you haven't read it already? Heck no. You know.
Well, from my own experience, Jency, I went into a bookshop. I'm ashamed to admit this. I actually asked the bookshop attendant if she had the Sarah Palin novel, because I wanted to see if she was actually as crazy as she seems.
Right.
No, general curiosity. So I asked the woman behind the counter if she had the book. You know what she said to me? Who's Sarah Palin?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So, you know...
Well, you know, let's leave the mental midget behind and
yes,
move forward and talk about something that Sarah Palin could never do, that... Barack Obama did last week. And for those of you listening, and everyone that I know I called and said, this is Must See TV. And if you haven't done it yet, download the video of Barack Obama confronting the GOP on their own turf this past week. And I can tell you that the member of the Republican Party who came up with the brilliant idea to have that televised is probably out of a job tonight. Because Barack went in there, and it really, it was like he was teaching a third grade class.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, you could hear in his voice what he is trying to say is, let's pretend that you guys are not wearing diapers still. Because he would politely call people a liar when I wish he would have just said, to hell with it, you're full of it, and I'm just going to say you're full of it. But he would tell people, you know, that's not true, and you know that's not true. So I don't know what the, you know, whose brilliant idea it was to have this televised, but I hope they do it more often, because it was so bad that Eric Cantor started calling for bipartisanship. And I can't stand.
Well, when Eric Cantor starts saying that he's bipartisan, then you know he's bipartisan.
Well, I think that what happened was that the president was able to walk into the GOP and basically call them on the BS that they were saying. As he said, you know, he had proposed much of their own proposals in the health care bill. And if you listen to them, you think it was some Bulkovich plot. And as the president... Yes.
I saw this on Maddow, and actually Maddow had a comment from a GOP aide that actually said it was, I'm not sure whether it was a GOP aide or a senator, but they said that it
Same
was a
difference.
Mistake. They said that it was a mistake to allow the cameras in there as soon as they walked out of there.
It was only, but doesn't that tell you everything about where the GOP is right now? It's only a mistake politically. It was not a mistake for the betterment of our society and our government. Because, for example, if someone calls the show right now and says, Jim, you're full of it, and I've got proof you're full of it, and this is what it is. You know, your disposition is the position you take, and here's the real facts behind it, and this is why your position is wrong. Either I'm going to change my position based on new information and knowledge that I have, thereby making me a more enlightened person in the first place, or I'm going to dig in, or I'm going to prove this person to be wrong. How are any of those three a bad idea? But if I got someone that calls up that disagrees with me as being factually accurate and isn't attacking me personally, and I scream to Seth, you know, get them off the air, that's not serving any purpose. And that's...
I know what you
the
mean,
GOP Jim. Is doing when they're saying, hey, we shouldn't have let it on TV.
I know what you mean, because, I mean, society is best served by an open debate, by an open process. That's why the...
No. Yeah, I have to amend that. Society is best served by an open process which they understand.
That is very key. Because the Republican Party has failed time and time again, and this is my beef and why I have to go off
on this.
By the way,
everyone say hi to Teresa, who just sent us a message that she's listening now.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
That they are unable to communicate effectively to the American people. The language that they use to talk about these issues is so beyond comprehension. And I'm not saying that because they're smarter. It doesn't mean you're smarter because you use phrases that the person walking down the street can't understand. What's smarter is if you can translate that into something that most people will be able to understand.
I get what
Yes, but what I was saying was that people don't understand the Senate process. They don't understand.
Oh, right.
You know, we live in a fast food society. They want everything right away. And when you look at the percentage of people that blame Barack Obama for this economic mess, you really got to agree with Bill Maher to say we live in a stupid country. We really do. They expect that he's going to fix something overnight. We live in such a stupid country. They give me a chair that's as squeaky as can be in a studio. But I digress. If people don't understand the process, then they don't understand why the Republican Party would want to drag out the health care debate. For example, as a community organizer, if we were trying to stop, let's say, a Walmart, because I've stopped a couple of those, then what we would do is we'd throw sand in the rails. We would just slow them down. We would file complaints against them. We'd rally the community against them. We would scour over their application and make sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. If we found something, we'd fight it. We'd throw a ballot measure up to try and get the people to vote against them. Anything with the primary function of just slowing it down. Not that you can beat them, because maybe you can't, but that you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And so if you drag it on long enough, something else, an outside force could happen. For example, we fought a Walmart in Ventura. I successfully led the campaign to get it placed on the ballot. Even though we lost on the ballot, the Walmart's not going in because the economy changed and they no longer want to build in Ventura. So even though we quote-unquote lost, we still won the fight. The healthcare battle being drug on and drug on and drug on. Remember back when Ted Kennedy passed away, the legislature in Massachusetts changed the law again to allow the governor to appoint a senator so that the Democrats had their 60th vote in the Senate so they can get health care passed.
But what about Joe Lieberman?
Still not passed.
What about Joe Lieberman? He may be an independent. He may be an independent that caucuses with the Democrats, but he's a Republican. He endorsed John McCain, crying out loud. So all the Americans are acting like the Democrats have lost the magic 60, when in actual fact they never had the magic 60 in the first place.
Well, I've been saying on this show the Democrats haven't had the magic 60 all along. Seth, let me know when you're ready with the next commercial, by the way. The Democrats haven't had it. They've only had 57. But the point is the Democratic Party has a larger majority now than any party's had since the 20s. And look, it's run roughshod. So there is a slight downside to a party that has such a big tent, because you get diverse of views. You want to know why the GOP is so loctite? It's because all the moderates have been purged out of the party. So there's the problem. And Seth is queuing me up there, ready to go to commercial. So we'll be back in 2 minutes. Taking your calls at 415-762-1161. Be back in 2 minutes.
The right-wing extremist Republican base is back. They lost the election. They lost on the Recovery Act, the budget, and children's health care. They've lost the confidence of the American people after 8 years of failed policies that ruined our economy and cost millions of jobs. Now, desperate Republicans and their well-funded allies are organizing angry mobs, just like they did during the election. Their goal? Destroy President Obama and stop the change Americans voted for overwhelmingly in November.
It will break him.
I hope he fails.
This mob activity is straight from the playbook of high-level Republican political operatives. They have no plan for moving our country forward, so they've called out the mob.
And I want to know, why are you people ignoring his instructions?
Call the Republican Party. Tell them you've had enough of the mob. The Democratic National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Common Sense Economics Rule Number 11. If a corporation makes record profits in this economy, they can afford to offer basic health coverage to their employees. Walmart makes $25,000 in profit every minute. Gave their CEO an $8 million bonus, but still refuses to offer affordable health coverage to 700,000 employees, nearly half their workforce. America's largest corporation can afford to be a better employer. Now would be a good time to start.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511. And I want to touch right quick upon something that jumped up at last week's State of the Union address. And it's been a buzz on the interwebs. And that was this Supreme Court Uli moment where, God, it wasn't Scalia. Help me out here. Who was it?
Is it Alito?
Alito, yes.
Yeah.
Justice Alito muttered, "That's not true, that's not true," when the president was making reference to the recent Supreme Court decision allowing corporations to spend unlimited amounts of money on campaigns. And there's a couple of facets of this that I want to touch upon, because the left has gone completely bat crazy over it. And I think the left needs to sit down and shut up. And the reason why I say that is we have this habit as Democrats of screaming about everything like banshees. And we don't need to do that. The president, I think, actually, frankly, crossed the line. I think that when he used the State of the Union to have these poor guys sit there in front of him and decide to smack them around, he deserved whatever he got. And that all he got was someone muttering that that's not true. This is a non-story. If there's a separation of powers in this country, and to make any kind of big deal out of it, let alone compare this to Joe Wilson, who's a complete boob, are two completely different things. First of all, the Supreme Court decision, I don't think it was the right thing to do. I understand the precedent of how they got there. There's a movement from the uneducated left to get rid of corporate personhood. These people, of course, don't know what the hell it is they're talking about, because if you didn't have corporate personhood, then corporations couldn't enter contracts, they couldn't sue people, they couldn't hire people. There's a lot of things they would not be able to do. They certainly wouldn't be able to file for bankruptcy, and therefore you would clamp down on innovation in this country. So the people who say get rid of corporate personhood don't know what they're talking about.
Can I just ask a question? What is it about this particular president that turns your politicians and your judges into British parliamentarians?
I don't think this was one of those cases. I think that there is a rabid right that can't stand the fact that Barack Obama is president. But beyond that, in this particular instance, I think it's making a mountain out of a molehill. You have a guy who disagreed with something that's being said. I don't think the president was right to spank them in the manner in which he did, where he chose to do it. I think that was tacky. Maybe
you're right, Jim. Maybe he was going too far. What I don't get is why, if this is so unconscionable to the left has a huge majority, why don't they just change the law to declare that corporations cannot donate millions and millions of dollars to
campaigns? Well, they did change the law, and that's what the Supreme Court just shot down.
Isn't this in the people that are actually serving in Congress? Isn't this in their interest? I mean, if corporations can donate
all the money they wanted to.
If corporations can donate millions and millions of dollars to campaigns, doesn't that benefit them because they're able to get elected and keep their seat?
Yes, which is why they want to posture about it on one hand and take their money on the other.
So, okay. I'm not understanding something here. I'm not understanding why...
confused by the general hypocrisy of the average American politician.
Yeah.
The idea is to be able to bash something while simultaneously benefiting from it. That's what they do, and they hope that voters are stupid. Unfortunately, the average voter is dumb enough to buy into this nonsense. They believe the taglines, and they don't look into it deeper. The idea that corporations should be able to dump money into campaigns is not in itself the problem. The problem is that a corporation is actually more than one person. It's a group of people, could be tens of thousands or millions of people, that are all part of a corporation pooling their resources to then get something which then mutes out the voice of you and I. That's the point. And how do you balance those two against each other with corporate personhood versus the rights of persons in the United States? That's the balance that needs to be drawn. There are some things that they can do now. The way to fix this would be clean money elections. No one's interested in that because as soon as we do, you know, because here's the campaign for publicly funded elections is that would limit the outside influence. But if I was running the campaign against publicly funded elections, I would say, well, why the hell do we need to support politicians? And see how easily that you muddy the waters. The average person goes, oh, yeah, you're right. I don't want to support politicians. No. And then you don't get clean money elections. And then the corporations continue to do what they've been doing. The idea that corporations are not involved in politics right now is retarded. And I thought I used the term on purpose. Well, I got to get a recording of Gen Z doing that.
What?
So that whenever we do it, I can have it. Okay. Yes, exactly. But Gen Z, you wanted to talk about, I don't want to stay in this corporate nonsense too long. I want to get through it. Gen Z had some good ideas for the show today. And, you know, she wants to come out of the closet today, and I want to support her in doing so.
Oh, my word. Now you're going to start something.
Yeah, but Gen Z, you just
no, I'm coming out of the conservative closet to say that I support the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Well, I had mine, but I'll take it.
And that as a supporter of our military, I stand behind what was said today, and I'm drawing a blank, by Admiral
I know who you're talking about. I'm talking about.
So
yeah, you're thinking of the West Wing, Jim.
Okay, I posted on my Facebook. Why am I?
About you. It's about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Admiral Mullen. That's what I wanted to say, but it just didn't seem right. Okay, I stand behind
him. We're already getting questions, by the way, that want to know if you're gay.
No.
Well, you don't have to be ashamed of it.
Well, no, that's wrong. I say that like it would be a horrible thing. No! I can't believe you didn't think that! Oh, my God. You're just giving me a hard time. No, I've been married for 12 years. Not that that could mean that I'm not gay, but, man, that's like, I'm digging a hole here. I need to shut up. Back to what I was saying, Admiral Mullen today when he was giving testimony. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with all of our members of the Joint Chiefs, which I will clearly say I'm not, but he's chairman and he's admiral in the Navy. He said allowing homosexuals to serve openly is the right thing to do, and it comes down to integrity. And so he supports the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I was getting a lot of heat today from some of my fellow conservatives on my position on that. You know, they think that the military, the servicemen and women are not going to be able to fight effectively or protect us. And I don't really know what they're thinking is going to happen.
I don't know. I'm thinking that if I'm in a foxhole and I've got incoming mortar fire, but I'm just too busy checking out the guy next to me, I'm not going to be able to concentrate on shooting back because, you know, what are these guys thinking?
I don't know. Or are they thinking that you know, they're going to show up and, you know, somebody looking like Bruno is going to, like, show up with a little fatigues on?
I would pay money to see that.
Like Jem C mentioned on the Skype chat during the commercial, the UK has allowed homosexuals to openly serve in the military since sodomy laws were repealed in the late 60s.
Yes, but you guys don't do a damn thing without our help, so that really doesn't matter, doesn't count.
You mean that every war
and
that
do
you
not
got,
bring up the you Falkland mean that, Islands. You guys,
mean,
I don't want to hear it.
You mean that every war that you guys that you guys get into, you drag us along.
We drag you along. Oh, all 5,000 of you. Yeah. Whoa. Couldn't have done it without you there.
So what these guys are saying is that because we have homosexuals that openly serve in our military, that our military isn't an effective force.
Well, they're saying that the United States military would not be effective, and that missions would be compromised. But I just find that absurd. When you look at other countries' militaries, Israel for one, I mean, who is going to say that the Israeli army is not anything but top-notch? And they've allowed homosexuals to openly serve in their military for years and years and years. Canada has allowed...
Well, come on. You can't put Canada and Israel in the same sentence.
Okay, well, unfortunately...
Canada's got a couple of canoes and a flying squirrel.
Yeah, we have a bigger military than Canada.
That's not saying much either.
But
hey!
Canada might want to think about getting a bit of bigger military, though, because with global warming and everything, things are starting to look good up there.
I was thinking of going to the beach up in Canada, you know.
I'm telling you, it's buying some property up there is not a bad idea. But in all seriousness, I think that what you're seeing is the beginning of the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's the president is obviously got a list. I think, A, there are things that he truly believes in, but B, he's got a list of promises he made. And he's got to be held to account of those promises by 2012. So by 2011, you bet you believe it, that he's going to have lived through those. And here's what I guarantee you will be done by next year this time. By next year this time, we will be, if not out of, well on our way to out of Iraq. I mean, substantially out, if not out completely. We will be gearing up for, if not already exiting, Afghanistan. Don't Ask, Don't Tell will be repealed. And the GOP will scream that it's hopping mad, it's a far-left communist plot.
Mm-hmm. To turn everybody gay.
Wait
a minute.
Because it's going to be a secret army of homosexuals that are going to infiltrate the military and turn all of the straight people gay. And
but you know that would be an ass-kicking military, don't you? No pun intended.
Hey, wait a minute. Didn't the GOP already scream that it was a far-left conspiracy? I'm having flashbacks here.
What, Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Yeah, they don't know what...
No. They already did that on healthcare. I'm having flashbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're beating healthcare. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get it. I mean, right now, I don't really see how we're going to get it.
Can I just say one thing? We've had gay marriage laws in this country since 2005. It's not called marriage, but it's exactly the same thing.
Why not?
It's called civil partnership for some reason.
Why is it not called marriage? We have the same exact thing in the United States. They put this thing forward where they want to give all the rights that a married person has, but they don't want to call it marriage. How third grade is that?
Mm-hmm. The only difference is that a civil partnership ceremony cannot take place in a church. It has to be a civil ceremony.
Well, you guys are also you're not.
It's whacked. It's whacked. I agree with you.
Your country's also founded on the church, so it's a whole lot different than United States. Supposedly not.
Will you just let me finish?
That's not fun.
What I'm trying to say is the divorce rate in homosexual couples in this country is actually lower than it is in heterosexual couples.
Well, and I think the whole argument against gay marriage from the standpoint of it ruining the family or our notion of family and that sort of thing is so it's interesting to me, because I think if you want to pinpoint something that has been more destructive to families, I would have to say divorce. You know, not homosexuals wanting to marry each other. So, you know, marriage is a civil institution. I encourage anyone to point out to me in the Bible where Adam and Eve were officially married. You know.
Hey, if you follow that story for all it's worth, it's okay to sleep with your sister. So, I mean, by definition, how did we get here? If you
write
the Adam and Eve story, by definition, how do we get here?
I don't know. It might have had something to do with the dinosaurs.
Okay. I want to stop you there, Jim, before somebody decides to sue us because some little kid decided to sleep with his sister. Okay? That was not what you were saying, was it? you were making a joke, weren't you?
You know, sometimes I wonder how fair is out there in the UK. I don't care if someone sues me for something I say on the air. Let them go ahead, sue me, do me the favor. We have this thing in the United States called the First Amendment. I can say whatever the hell I damn well feel like it on the radio. So I don't give a damn.
We don't have a First Amendment, but, you know, we can say whatever the hell we want as long as we don't say any swear words.
No, we can fucking say swear words, too, if I want to.
What? Wait a minute. Where's my bleep out button?
Ah! The First Amendment is living free in the United States. And by the way, the reason that I did that just now was because the state of California, with everything that is going on in California, the state of California legislature, leave it to these bozos to do something completely ridiculous. And that is, they went and passed a resolution saying that the first week of March, might even be the whole month of March, is a no-cuss week or month. And I'm sitting here thinking,
do they have a big giant quarter jar where they want everybody to put a quarter in the swear jar, and that's how they're going to get them out of the budget crisis? I've got a good idea. Make me governor.
Exactly. All the stupid crap we could come up with. Well, state's going to hell in a handbasket. It makes no sense. And I'm getting yelled at by Seth that we need to go to commercial here. So we will be back in 2 minutes, and we'll go to commercial, and I'm going to get yelled at on Facebook here as well. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Why would politicians like Bart Stupak introduce abortion into America's healthcare debate? Why are they trying to make it more difficult than ever before for women to buy insurance coverage for abortion in the new healthcare system? Even if they use their own money, why? Because they want to impose one of the worst restrictions on a woman's right to choose in a generation. Go to ProChoiceAmerica.org today and call on your member of Congress to say no to anti-choice, anti-healthcare attacks.
I was raised Irish Catholic. We had Jesus on one wall and JFK on the other. I've always had an impassioned love for this country, even when I disagree with it. So many people like to wrap themselves in the flag, forgetting what it stands for. That beacon of hope for a people who had so little reason to hope. A people who believe that we could leave our children a world better than when we arrived. None of us are perfect, but politicians seem to have a knack for hypocrisy. It's because truth gets left behind when they arrive in Washington, choosing to win instead of doing the right thing. We've all seen the worst of our country. I would like to show my children the best. That's why I'm here. Tune in to Common Sense with Jim Alger. www.getcommonsenseradio.com. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511.
And before I went to break, we were talking about the state of California legislature's batshit crazy idea to get rid of cursing for the month of March, or to pass a resolution trying to extend civility.
Okay. How are they going to enforce that? Are the police just going to walk up, if you swear in the street, are the police just going to walk up to you and arrest you?
No, it's not a actual
It's kind of like the great smoke out, the great curse out.
Yeah, it's one of these goofy, ridiculous ideas they do that makes themselves feel better, and they can jump up.
So it's
can
not
you say words that you mean to be swear words, but you're not saying swear words. Like if you say fudge or fracking or something.
Yeah, but see, I always thought that stupid. You gotta say it, just say it. As opposed to
I'm asking is the resolution going to put swear words that they consider swear words so that the public will know what they shouldn't be saying? I mean, to me, when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to say butt, you know, much less ass. I mean, heaven forbid. And now during primetime television, my 5-year-old hears, that word. So what words? I think that the resolution should describe what the state of California feels are off-limit words. And let's go ahead and put the N-word and the R-word on there. And I guess we got to.
Retarded is not a curse word. I'm not going to let make it a curse word. God damn it. It's not going to happen. We're getting yelled at because guess what we did? We were supposed to be off the air to our next show here a few minutes ago. And Seth, being the really cool dude that he is, just let things keep going. But he's not being cool anymore because, like the Grammy Awards, he's running our theme in the background here. So that's looping us to hell off the air. So with that.
This has been Common Sense. On behalf of Janie, Jensie, Natalie, Chris, Mike, myself, and the entire Common Sense crew, thank you for joining us. Common Sense airs live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, with the internet feed stream beginning 5 minutes earlier, courtesy of BBS Radio. Episodes are available on demand via iTunes. For further information, visit the show's webpage at www.getcommonsenseradio.com. The Common Sense Radio Show would like to send a very special thank you to our engineer, Seth Hendrick, as well as our musical composer, Stephen Glossner. Until next week, stay safe, keep your head held high, and remember to always replace the spin with common sense. Take them home, Steve.